Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 3 minutes after the hour, Monday, May 24th, 2021, the Monday after Pentecost, the memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. And this Monday after Pentecost is also the Feast of Mary, Help of Christians. What a rich time in our church calendar and filled with the Holy Spirit. We say, come, O most Holy Spirit, come. And we'll talk about the Spirit at work in your life with Father Burke Masters, our spiritual director this morning. Coming up also from Trending with Timory, it's Timory Jaja joining us later in the hour, the 52nd anniversary of Humanae Vitae, and hear the perspective of living the beauty of that from Pope St. Paul VI. In the eyes of a young couple, Timory and her husband. She'll share that coming up later on in this hour, along with the Fresh Glen Story Corner on this Monday morning that we begin in prayer. And we invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At 4 after the hour, our spiritual director this morning, Father Burke Masters, who's the Secretary for Christian Formation and the Director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet. Hi, Father Burke.
Good morning, John. How are you?
As someone who converted to Catholicism, and of course this happened when you were in high school, and then you had a reversion a little bit later on in your life before hearing the call to the priesthood. What was Pentecost like for you in both of those occasions?
You know, I think every year it's taken on new meaning as I've come to know the person of the Holy Trinity. I mean, know the person of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Trinity. I think early on, you know, the concept of the Holy Spirit was difficult for me to understand. And, you know, I've seen movies about Jesus, you know, read the scriptures. You can get a good sense of who Jesus is. But, boy, who is God the Father and who is the Holy Spirit? But the more I come to know Jesus, and the more he says, you know, if you've known me, you know the Father, and, you know, the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. Now I find myself often praying more to the Holy Spirit than even to Jesus or God the Father. And the more I allow the Holy Spirit to take over my life, the more exciting it becomes. One of my good friends, he's Father Dennis, he says, you know, when you get to know the Holy Spirit, buckle your seatbelt because it's going to be the ride of your life. And because it says the wind blows where it wills, and we don't know exactly where the Holy Spirit's going to lead us, but it's going to be amazing because God loves us and has this amazing plan for our lives. And that's been my experience. I didn't want to be a priest, and now I can't imagine not being a priest.
Yeah.
And it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit.
I've been sharing the Holy Spirit moments, just a remarkable Pentecost liturgy in our parish, masks off if you had both vaccination shots, dispensation lifted, people back, thanks be to God, in the pews, music back, and it was just a magnificent liturgy. And spending some time after Mass just talking with the Holy Spirit, my best friend, as you've often heard me reference the Holy Spirit, and that's a statement of fact. The Holy Spirit was talking to me in that, okay, You have this relationship with me. Now I need you to take it up one step further. Are you operating on your own needs and desires? Then that means you're operating on you, not me. Are you more concerned with other people more than you are about yourself? Then you're operating on you, not me. So that was the examine that I took out of the liturgy on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it made me think of Dr. Bob Schutz in his book, Be Healed. He talks about two basic ways that we approach life. One is self-reliance, and another is reliance on God. And that's a great reflection for all of us to look at is, okay, am I going about this according to my plans and my desires?
Right.
Or am I really leaning into God? Am I immersing myself in the life of the Holy Trinity and then saying, Lord, take me where you will? And that was that was the, you know, key movement in my own life. You know, I love God, and you know, I was going to church, and but it was about my plan. You know, I kept saying, okay, God, I want to be a professional baseball player. You know, just go along with my plan, which is okay in one sense. You know, Jesus says, seek, ask, knock, to be specific about what we desire. But what is the ultimate prayer, I believe, is, but not my will, but yours be done. And the more that we trust that God loves us, and the more we immerse ourselves in that prayer, like you're saying, along the Holy Spirit saying, is this your plan or is it mine?
Right.
And so when I started to go to adoration, you know, I just felt the Lord through the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to be a priest. And I said, really? I don't want to be a priest. And we had this dialogue for, I would say, a couple years. And then it finally just became clear that I had to give this a try, that God was calling me to something. And boy, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit persisted, because if I'd had my plan, I think I would still be, I'd still be looking for fulfillment in something or someone, and instead of finding it, you know, in God.
Father Burke Masters, our spiritual director this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if we asked you to fill in this blank, what would you say? And here's the question. By the power of the Holy Spirit, fill in that blank in your life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, what happened in your life? What was it? What can you say? What are the miracles? What's the freedom that maybe you experienced with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Fill in that blank. By the power of the Holy Spirit, what happened in your life? 888-914-9149. A part of that conversation, Father Burke, on Saturday afternoon after Mass with the Holy Spirit is to really kind of surrender a little bit more to the Spirit of God than I was, and to let Him, as you say, have control over every part of your life. Not to be a puppet master, but to give you the clarity of thought in using all of the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, along with the talents that God has given you, to move forward.
Yeah. I love the quote from St. Catherine of Siena, who said, you know, become who you were created to be and you'll set the world on fire.
Right.
And I think on Pentecost, that really became a powerful part of my prayer, is that imagine, you know, God is so good and God is so generous that He's gifted all of us with special gifts and talents. If we all, as you said, God is not this great puppet master, but God is this great Father of love, you know, Jesus, our brother, the Holy Spirit who resides in us. Just imagine a world where each one of us allowed the Holy Spirit to animate our lives in such a way that we were using the gifts and talents God gave us for the purpose they were intended for. My goodness, how the world would change. And I think that's what we find when I become more and more the person God created me to be, both in my vocation but in how I'm using my gifts. That's when personally we find fulfillment, but it's also how we help bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. And, you know, one of my dreams as I became the director of adult formation in our diocese a few years ago is that, you know, people in this diocese would become so on fire with the love of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit that people would want to move here because of what's happening. But God wants the whole world to be on fire in such a way that, you know, we're using those gifts and talents. We're finding personal fulfillment, but we're also fulfilling God's plan in our lives. It'd be amazing.
On this Monday after Pentecost, filled with the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we're asking you to fill in this blank by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill in the blank. By the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it in your life that you're able to do? What was that moment with the Holy Spirit? Anna's listening to Relevant Radio 1080 in Miami. Anna, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. Hi, Anna. You're on the radio. By the power of the Holy Spirit, fill in that blank. What happened?
Good morning. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I never saw the Mass the same again. You know, so? I grew up in the church since I was, well, you know, I was brought up in the church since I was a little kid, and you go through the routine, you go to Mass, you don't miss Mass, you have to go, you sit, you stand, you look around, you know. It was so different when I actually received that, I would say, I don't know, experience. And it was through my husband's conversion, because he was searching and searching and, you know, finally, thank God, found that, you know, went back to the Catholic Church, and I never saw the Mass the same again. I go to Mass, I hear it on the radio, I'll hear it wherever, and I just, it's different. You internalize everything. Everything that's symbolic, you take it in, and you just, it's almost like you have to have it. You know, it's a basic need.
That foretaste of heaven, Father Burke.
It is, and one of the things the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit illumines our minds and strengthens our will, and that's one of those where it's like God gives us a new set of glasses, right? And you start to see things through as God sees them, rather than, you know, just with human eyes. And I couldn't agree with her more. If people understood what's happening at the Mass, we should have people hanging from the rafters at every Mass. You know, if people knew that God was showing up as He does. And just to plug it for the short 7-minute film, The Veil Removed. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, very powerful.
7-minute video. Yeah, kind of showing the spiritual realities behind what you actually see at Mass. It's very powerful. Brings me to tears.
Father Burke Masters with us this morning. Anna, thanks and God bless. Blessings to you and your husband. Thanks for listening in Miami this morning on Relevant Radio 1080. And we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in your life and mine. And if we asked you to fill in the blank, as Anna did just magnificently, how would you fill in this blank? By the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it about the Holy Spirit in your life? What can you say? By the power of the Holy Spirit, fill in that blank. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father Burke, in my parish, Father, in his homily, talked about how the power of the Holy Spirit is real, is alive in all of us, and how we have that power over sin and all things that keep us from God. And all we have to do is surrender our hearts and lives to the Spirit. It's easier than it sounds, but when you do achieve that, and you know, I think we all go through hills and valleys in our spiritual life, you know what that is like, and you know the power that you get from surrendering your heart, your life to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And it's like, it goes back to that self-reliance or reliance on God. I know that, you know, I've had sin in my life where, you know, it just the same sin repeatedly. Whenever I'm at retreats and I say, hypothetically or, you know, a rhetorical question, have any of you confessed the same sin over and over again? And everybody kind of laughs because we all do. And if you try to overcome it by self-reliance and just by my own will, like, okay, I'm gonna stop this sin. You can do it for a little while, but eventually, you know, it won't work. But if we surrender this to the Holy Spirit, if we allow God to work in us, that's where I never understood the scripture by St. Paul. He says, it's in my weakness that I'm made strong. Until I did this, I thought, what does that mean? It's in my weakness that I'm made strong, because especially as Americans, we don't want to be weak. Surrender is kind of a negative word. But in the spiritual life, being weak and allowing God to, you know, inviting God into those areas of weakness in our lives where the Holy Spirit can cleanse us and can, you know, really take control and lead us in ways you never thought possible. I found in my own personal life that things that I never thought would happen as far as in the areas of sin, you know, have been overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. And surrender in the spiritual life and saying, Lord, this is an area that I struggle with. I don't have control, and I invite you in. I invite you to take over and to lead me. Give me the strength. And so whenever you're tempted, you know, stop and say a prayer. One is awareness, to know where I'm weak, to know where I struggle, to recognize temptation for what it is, and then ask the Holy Spirit and say, I can't do this, but we can.
Father Burkmaster's with us this morning. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit on this Monday after Pentecost here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. By the power of the Holy Spirit, fill in the blank. How would you fill in that blank? The power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Matt, you're going to have to punch up Carol. Carol is in Wisconsin with her Holy Spirit moment this morning with Father Burkmaster's. Hi, Carol. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. Tell us about your Holy Spirit moment. By the power of the Holy Spirit, fill in that blank.
Good morning, guys. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I am able to make the sign of the cross in the middle of traffic when you guys are saying your morning prayer.
Ah, that's beautiful. Has anybody ever looked at, have you ever looked around? No, it's funny you mentioned that because we had a call one day from someone in the Archdiocese of Newark, and they were going over to the cathedral, which is right off Interstate 280, major east-west thoroughfare through the city of Newark, and they were at the stoplight about to make the left-hand turn to go up the hill to the cathedral, and it was just as we were finishing the morning offering at the beginning of an hour, and this person looked to his left and to his right, and people in both of those cars were blessing themselves. Were you in one of those cars, Carol? Yeah, were you ever in Newark, New Jersey, driving in one of those cars?
No. But I get disappointed when a car pulls away from me or backs off and can't see this. Because it's like, hey, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, or, you know, I always hear, I'm talking about my rosary walks, and I know many of you do rosary walks with the Relevant Radio app and Father Rocky in your ear, and you're praying the rosary, and, you know, and you bless yourself at the beginning or the end of the rosary. Yep. Or if you walk by a Catholic church, you bless yourself. And, you know, you're just walking. There, you know, occasionally there are people, at least on a Sunday morning when I'm walking, and you know, I've gotten some glances and everything, and you just smile and you just nod, and you never know how the Holy Spirit's at work, Carol, right?
You don't.
There you
but
go.
I'm glad he's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Carol, thanks for sharing that witness this morning. 888-914-9149. God bless you. 888-914-9149. If we asked you to fill in the blank by the power of the Holy Spirit, what would you say? By the power, I would fill it in, Father Burke, by saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I learned how to not sleepwalk through my faith. Because I took my faith for granted. I was checking off the boxes, and I thought, I was a good Catholic. And then the Holy Spirit got my attention, you know, in very comfortable ways. In, you know, when I look back at how the Holy Spirit got my attention, it was like, wow, I would never have expected it to come that way. And then it just started working and working and working and working. And yes, from time to time, the Holy Spirit gives me a swift kick in the seat of the pants when I need it. But that's how I would fill in that blank. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I learned how to not take my faith for granted and to grow that romance with Jesus.
And I would say, as you were asking the question earlier, I thought, gosh, how would I answer that question? And so many things come to mind. And as I would say, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to make Jesus present in the Mass. Mm-hmm. People to heal through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, that's not a statement of pride because I know it's not me, that it's the Holy Spirit working in me. And when I read, you know, Jesus, as he's, you know, about to ascend, they're holding on to him. And he's like, you don't want me to stay because if I stay, we can't send you the Holy Spirit. And so it's that presence of God that is with us forever. And so as Jesus ascends 10 days later, you know, we have Pentecost, and Jesus says, with the Advocate, you'll be able to do the things I've done and even greater things. And so to think about that, Jesus, who raised people from the dead, who healed, you know, who performed miracle after miracle, he's saying that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can do those things and even greater. And so I think there's this power of God within us that is just lying dormant in so many cases. And that's, again, that sense God wants the world to be set afire through the power of the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. So to ask God to stir that fan of faith alive in us through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And speaking to that point, in the last hour, we had a homily highlight from Cardinal Dolan, a 10:15 Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral, Father Burke, where he said, now put yourself in the upper room. And we're all in the upper room. When we go to liturgy, we're in the upper room. So we have that decision to make. Do we go it alone? Do we stick together? It's a choice the disciples had to make, and so do you and I. We stick together. We go out there and share that good news. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that's in us that we absolutely simply cannot contain.
Yeah, we do need each other, and what the enemy wants us to do is to try to do this thing alone, this thing called life, and you can do it, but it's going to be extremely difficult and lonely. But Jesus says, "I came so that you might be one." And so, what I've seen in ministry and in my own personal life, the power of that unity among us Catholic Christians, and when you're with people of faith, we strengthen one another and we encourage one another on this journey, and we're able to do things. And we started a ministry in our diocese called Be Formed. It's adult formation, and one of the key pieces is not just what we're learning, but it's small faith communities where we're encouraging one another. And in my own small group, I've seen things happen that these men probably would not do if they were walking this journey alone. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're encouraging one another and they're seeing, wow, I'm not alone. Look at what he's doing. And they're getting this boldness to share their faith in ways that, wasn't happening before. And it's that power of community in the Holy Spirit.
And so important for us guys to have that boldness of our faith showing. Many times we don't want to do that because we think it's vulnerable, but it's a very powerful witness for our families and our kids, because if we as guys are, as fathers, very powerful witnesses of our faith, and and there's empirical evidence of this, Father Burke, that the kids will most likely practice their faith as a result of how dad did.
Exactly. Yeah, and we had one guy, and it was in a different group, but a leader told me, he said, this guy that I've known my whole life, he said, I realize that my faith is not about, it's not a private thing between me and God anymore, that it's meant to be shared. I thought, if that alone is what people get, that's a victory. And to know, as one of our callers just said, making the sign of the cross publicly, we don't have to be street corner evangelists. We don't have to be theologians, but in big and small ways, however the Holy Spirit guides us to be a witness in our environments, in our workplace and in our homes. And as you say, statistics are overwhelming when a man lives out his faith. His children are much, much, much more likely to practice their faith as well. And it's not just about going to Mass. Even though going to Mass is hugely important, one of our callers said, we go to Mass and we sit, we stand, we pray, we look around. But when you understand what's going on at the Mass, when the Holy Spirit enlightens your mind and gives you that strength of will, then, it's not an obligation, but it's this desire to worship God on, Sunday, many people every day. But it's living it out 24/7.
Amen.
Throughout the day.
By the way, if you're a dad or a dad-to-be, if you head over to our Morning Air Facebook page, I posted a story today about King St. Eric of Sweden, who is a very powerful witness of the faith for dads and for kids. So take a look at that. So it's a way for dads to become those very powerful witnesses in your own family and to share that faith with your kids. Father Burke, our time has gone by too quickly. Father is our spiritual director. You hear him also on The Inner Life with Josh Raymond. Father is the Secretary for Christian Formation, the Director of the Office of Adult Formation in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. Thanks, Father Burke. God bless.
Thanks, John. God bless you, too.
Time is 27 after the hour. Our gospel today comes from the 19th chapter of John on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
John chapter 19, verses 25 through 34. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
You say, "Alexa, play Relevant Radio." There it is.
Make your smart speaker really smart
by adding Relevant Radio to it.
You are a talking encyclopedia.
Listen live, listen to your favorite show whenever it fits your schedule, access our exclusive In Conversation with God podcast, and more.
Since when did you get so smart?
You can listen to Relevant Radio on your Amazon Alexa, Google Home, Apple, and Sonos devices.
Whoa, you are a smart one.
Learn more at relevantradio.com/smart.
Hello, Father James Kubicki here, and in 2018, Pope Francis instituted the feast that we're celebrating today. We honor the Blessed Virgin Mary under the title Mother of the Church, a title that Pope St. Paul VI used. And it makes sense that we would celebrate the day after Pentecost, the birthday of the Church, in honor of the one who gave birth to Christ and cared for him with motherly affection and shed motherly tears for him as he hung dying on the cross. On the cross, Jesus turned to his closest friend, John, and, indicating his mother Mary, said to him, "Behold your mother." We see ourselves, the Church, represented by John at that moment, and we hear Jesus tell us as well, "Behold your mother." As she brought forth the body of Jesus from her womb and nurtured him, so she now cares for the body of Christ, which is the Church. Let's conclude our daily reflection now with a prayer that Pope Francis wrote to Mary, Mother of the Church. Mother, help our faith. Open our ears to hear God's word and to recognize his voice and call. Awaken in us a desire to follow in his footsteps and to receive his promise. Help us to be touched by his love, that we may touch him in faith. Help us to entrust ourselves fully to him and to believe in his love, especially at times of trial beneath the shadow of the cross, when our faith is called to mature. So, in our faith, the joy of the risen one, remind us that those who believe are never alone. Teach us to see all things with the eyes of Jesus, that he may be light for our path. And may this light of faith always increase in us until the dawn of that undying day, which is Christ himself, your Son, our Lord.
Did you know that there's lots of different ways to support the mission of Relevant Radio? Besides a cash gift or pledge, we can accept gifts of stock and gifts from IRAs. Today, it's easier than ever to do. If you'd like more information on all the ways you can support our mission, go to relevantradio.com and click on the support tab. Or call 877-291-0123. Your contribution by any method will help bring Christ to the world through the media on Relevant Radio. Thank you.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
When more start reading Humanae Vitae, more may start living by Humanae Vitae, and more will experience the peace and joy that come with doing God's will. knowledge is power. And I think if you factor your own experience and the experience of your families and friends in with a reading of the encyclical, I think you'll find some wisdom there, some wise caution. I hope that you will also look into NFP, Natural Family Planning, as something that parishes can very successfully offer to young couples.
That's Bishop Donald Hanschen, who's an auxiliary bishop in the Archdiocese of Detroit. When Paul VI wrote Humanae Vitae in 1968, he began with this reflection that the moral norms that regard married love can be observed, yes, with the gravest of difficulty, but sometimes with heroic effort, as I know many Catholic couples do. And it was really a time to renew those norms. That was Humanae Vitae, to renew those norms in light of the conditions of life at the time. Well, fast forward 53 years later, and those conditions have changed again as we live as Catholics in the culture. Timuri Jaja is the host of Trending with Timuri, weeknights at 6 o'clock Central Time on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and she is joining us this morning here to talk about Humanae Vitae at 53 and the beauty of living it, and how she and her husband do that as a very young married couple, to share their witness with you this morning on Morning Air. Timuri, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, John. It's great to be here.
How's the baby doing?
Oh, she is sleeping wonderfully. I'm very blessed that I'm able to get my work done while she sleeps.
There you go. When did you first become exposed to Humanae Vitae? For you, it's at a very, very young age. Tell that story.
Cat's out of the bag. I'm homeschooled, and I try to hide it occasionally because we get a bad rap at times. But I really grew up with a second degree in bioethics, because my mom was involved in pro-life work, and I had the opportunity to go to many incredible conferences with some of our top national leaders in the pro-life and bioethicist movement in the church. And so when I was about 12 years old, I remember hearing things about Humanae Vitae at the conferences I would go to with my mom, and I saw it sitting there on the shelf. And so I picked it up and I read it for the first time when I was 12, and I just found it fascinating. I really enjoyed it. I think this was really the first church document I had ever read, and the faith and the practicality to what was happening in the culture was very prevalent to me at that age, because I grew up, you know, dancing in the pro-life movement. So I had a good understanding of what was happening. And it's funny, because I don't think I really knew anything about contraception. I knew a lot about abortion. And so it wasn't until years later I better understood that this really had to do with contraception precisely. But there is a beauty to kind of this moral role that Humanae Vitae was emphasizing, that the church echoed over the years, surrounding what it meant to engage in intimacy and to respect new human life, and also to respect the couple as well.
What are the misconceptions, even among Catholics, about natural family planning?
Oh, gosh, John, this is, I don't know if we want to go here, but there's a problem, because a lot of people in and outside of the church think that natural family planning is Catholic birth control, Catholic contraception. And what's sad is that we as Catholics can have a contraceptive mindset with how we use it, that we're culpable before God for, because we can use it in a way that prevents generosity and honesty about whether or not we can have more children. In fact, I advise every single couple, read this, whether you're engaged, dating, you know, start talking about these things. But the church in Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul VI calls us to generosity, to acceptance of children. And he emphasizes that if we're going to ponder holding out on having children for a time, really an indefinite amount of time, that there needs to be, quote, a serious reason, and with due respect for the moral precepts. Mm-hmm. And so this is where natural family planning does allow for serious reasons. And each couple, Humanae Vitae lays out in its document, is responsible before God, and also encouraged to invite in spiritual guidance on this, to take before the Lord whether or not they have a legitimate reason to put a pause on having children. And of course, you know, no vasectomies, no hysterectomies, no contraception, no barrier methods. You know, all of these things aren't part of that. So what does the church say? Well, utilizing natural family planning, abstinence for a season is acceptable. And so that's what is utilized with a great care and understanding of fertility charting through the NAPRO method and Creighton, that you can be aware of when you are and are not fertile. And so it's interesting because, John, you know, my husband and I had some challenges having a baby.
Yes.
And without getting into that story, you know, I never had any intention of using NFP when I got married. I knew a lot about it, but I thought, you know, I don't have a reason to avoid having children. Sure, would it be easier financially if we owned a home, if our incomes were higher, you know, if I was home 100%? Absolutely. But we didn't have a legitimate reason. And so I didn't plan to. Long story short, we have a hard time having a baby. So we start using NFP and NAPRO technology for the better reason. And that is to help you conceive a baby and really for women highlight underlying health issues. And so what happened is I remember, you know, a month or so into starting to do all the charting to try and conceive a baby, I looked at my husband, I said, is it just me or do you see how manipulative this could be to try and prevent new life and how it can become cold and calculated in order to prevent new life? And he said, absolutely. And I would say even the same for those people who are trying to conceive. It can be used with an attitude of too much control as well. And so this is where we have to be reminded that a contraceptive culture of the last 60 years has really snuck into our attitude as people of faith. And we need to kind of overcome that and trust, you know, our fertility and new life and family size to God more than I think we're willing to in the 21st century.
Timmery Jaja with us on the 53rd anniversary, just about a month or so shy of the actual 53rd anniversary of Humanae Vitae from St. Pope Paul VI, who describes married love as both fully human in both sense and spirit. And knowing that you're the outlier, having read Humanae Vitae when you were 12, Timmery, when you were courting, how did you have that conversation with your husband-to-be about this spiritual encounter that would bring new life into the world?
You know, he came to a lot of my talks, and I've taught a lot about Humanae Vitae, and I always, you know, the two, I think, guiding principles, if you were to take something out, first and foremost, that we need to understand is that every act of intimacy is meant to be both A, unitive, and B, procreative. And if you take one of those two dimensions out, we're not respecting what God created our bodies for, to be open to new life and the possibility of it, and to be for the good and union of the spouses. And so he had heard me talk a lot about it, but prior to getting married, he'd also heard a lot about NFP. And to what guy doesn't it sound great? Like, yeah, let's wait until it's more practical to have a baby. And so I remember kind of talking to him, like, yeah, I don't really want to use NFP. He's like, but isn't this what Catholics do? And he didn't know exactly what it was. I think a lot of people just think like, oh yeah, do NFP when you get married. I was like, no, I don't plan to. We don't have, you know, legitimate reasons. So we had to have those conversations about exactly what NFP was. And very quickly he thought, oh, that can look like what the culture is doing with contraception. Just the only difference is that it's maybe not creating a physical barrier, or it's not causing potentially an abortion, or it's not impacting a woman's health. And so it's important to recognize that that attitude can be so prevalent. And I've seen it with a lot of my friends, John. A lot of people go, oh, we're going to get married really young, and then we're going to practice NFP for 5 years before we have kids. Now, God has a sense of humor in there. While NFP is extremely effective, at the same time, I think sometimes when we try to control things so much, I remember a professor of mine, Dr. Michael Barber, one time said, you know, we need to stop talking about NFP and think about SNFP, said supernatural family planning. And that is taking our plans for our life and our family before the Lord. And so I think that those conversations with my husband, we're able to come to terms with what NFP actually is and what the church teaches. And let me tell you this, John, so many young couples I know, once they read Humanae Vitae, they hear the calling of generosity and to be open to life and the responsibility and love that's prevalent in married love and having children. They like that challenge, but the problem is that we're not explaining it often enough to people.
Timmery, are we dealing with kind of the mindset that culture has denormalized having children?
Oh, absolutely. And growing up in Southern California, especially over the last 10 years, you know, you can go into a church and there aren't a lot of kids. And it's funny because if you go to the church with more kids, sometimes you're less patient because it is a little louder. There's more of a ruckus. But we're seeing in our church fewer and fewer children even in the pews. And I think that the cultural attitude has significantly impacted young parents or even preventing people from getting married at all, even within the church, and kind of being okay with the status quo of this unmarried culture, yet at the same time, especially for young women, there's this deep longing for marriage. And for men, there's this cry for responsibility, but they don't know where they will get that because marriage has become so denormalized for my generation.
Timmery Jaja with us this morning talking about Humanae Vitae at 53, now perhaps more important than it ever has been. How would you talk to a young couple, Timmery, to tell them that in living a life of sexual love, it's one that conforms not only to my dignity as a human person, but also enhances the dignity of others as humans?
Well, you know, if we come back to this fundamental understanding, this is where theology of the body complements Humanae Vitae, a little kind of back history for those who don't know. It really is said that Pope Paul VI was significantly influenced by John Paul II, then Karol Wojtyla, in his writings having to do with love and responsibility, and that this informed Humanae Vitae. Some people even go so far as to say that JP2 was the ghostwriter who, you know, wrote Humanae Vitae for Pope Paul VI. But here's the deal. This is where we get a lot of our anthropology and theology of human intimacy and love. And if we can understand that the great value of human life is what we saw on the cross, that is Christ giving himself for us, bloody, bruised, and beaten, we can understand that the greatest gift we can give to other people is our life as well. And so that's part of what's understood in making sure that there's always this dimension in marital love of unitive and procreative, because we're giving ourselves totally. There's no withholding on an intellectual level, on a physical level, on the barrier level. And that's important because having worked in the crisis pregnancy center, you guys, I saw firsthand so many young women whose bodies were taken advantage of, where they were not being given and received as a gift in intimacy. And when I had on those occasions, whether in front of the abortion clinic or, you know, the few times I did counsel inside our crisis pregnancy center, because that wasn't my primary role, I would see that these women could understand that they want intimacy to be unitive. They want to be procreative because they want to give themselves and they want to live for something. And so people, I think we have to reawaken that children aren't a bore. They aren't a drag. They aren't money suckers, energy suckers. Children are that opportunity to give ourselves fully, to be fully alive in that mission of self-gift that Jesus Christ lived on the cross and that Adam and Eve discovered in the garden, even though they themselves struggled. But they understood in that moment when Eve was created, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. There was this physical reality that my body's made to be given to you and you to me. And in that moment, there was this understanding of self-gift that was profound on a physical level, because I always joke, they were butt naked in the garden. They got this pretty quickly. We don't get it. Maybe if we all walked around naked, it would make it a little easier. But they understood that on a physical level and on a spiritual level, that's what the challenge that each and every single one of us are trying to live out today yet again. Because we get that part of it. We're not understanding that who I am, not just what I am, is made to be a gift.
You and I are called to share our faith in the culture, and it's difficult in the culture of 2021. But nonetheless, as Catholics, how do we share the vision of the sacrament, underline that word, the sacrament of matrimony, as something that's noble, that's enduring, and that is beautiful?
This is, I think, starting on the most simple level, John, of being joyful and happy parents and letting people see that you are living your life to the fullest as parents. I think that's a good point. And that doesn't mean everything's easy. You know, I was just with some friends, not too long ago, and kids can have challenges. They can have autism. They can have, you know, food allergies. They can have all these challenges that arise, but you can still live life to your fullest and be this beautiful, joyful example. So I think it starts there. But then I think it also starts with being willing to kind of see how faith and science are compatible, and maybe depending on where your friend is at, talk to them about the social science side of, you know, living together outside of marriage, the likelihood to get married, the anxiety levels that are super high, whether you're talking about contraception, the impact on a woman's body. And then you have this opportunity. It's like the clincher. And I did this with the women in the crisis pregnancy center in front of the abortion clinic when I'd sidewalk counsel. I'd say, do you think that on a, you know, reasonable level, the fact that all of this is happening from a social science perspective, or even from a natural, like, law perspective, because sometimes we have to work with people there, that there's a deeper reality to human life and the giving of self, and that God had a plan. And usually if you take them along that journey, they're willing to go there. And that's why I think this idea of the church, of every act being unitive and procreative, I don't have to bring up my faith to say that. It makes sense before you even bring theology in.
We're so blessed to share your voice here on Morning Air. Tim Rejaja back on Relevant Radio tonight at 6 p.m. Central. What's on the broadcast tonight?
Oh, we are in the octave of Pentecost. We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit, the gifts and the fruits that he has for us. And we'll be walking with the Holy Spirit all week long this week. And today's our happy hour, so we'll always address the topic of joy and happiness.
And you can put Glenn and I back on the babysitter's list because we didn't make the baby cry this time as we did last time. So I guess we're back in your good graces there. So
you're hired.
Okay, that's good. Thanks, Timmy. We'll listen for you on the radio tonight. Our time now is 12 before the hour. Glenn's got a fresh story corner. Homily highlights for Pentecost Sunday next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I would have liked you near me on the day I must leave this world. I wish I had wanted you that time when I didn't want you.
Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million memorares. Add your memorare for life at relevantradio.com.
This is Bishop Jaime Soto from the Diocese of Sacramento. We pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petition, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Solidarity HealthShare supports Relevant Radio.
Pope John Paul II wrote, "Solidarity is not a feeling of vague compassion or shallow distress at the misfortunes of so many people. On the contrary, it is a firm and persevering determination to commit oneself to the common good." Solidarity HealthShare stands behind that commitment and perseverance for common good, for our Catholic community, our members, and for our country. During these unfamiliar times and always, join us in solidarity. CatholicHealthShare.com.
Underwriting by John Paul the Great Catholic University. John Paul the Great Catholic University in Southern California is dedicated to impacting culture for Christ through creative arts and business innovation. Cultivate your God-given talents in a supportive, Christ-centered community as you train to become a filmmaker, writer, actor, entrepreneur, animator, illustrator, or game designer. Where will your JP Catholic education take you? Explore all our programs and receive a full application fee waiver at jpcatholic.edu/radio.
This is Cale Clark, and the Cale Clark Show is all about faith, facts, and fun.
Gotta tell you, I'm a Protestant, and I'm crazy about this show.
I was hoping for us to have a civilized conversation until I heard about you being a Buffalo Bills fan. And here I am being a Dolphins fan, so I'm not sure how that's possible.
Thank you so much for being a great addition to Relevant Radio.
As you can see, lots of great conversations on the show, but the real guest of honor is you. Join me at 5 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Insight into Sunday's readings and gospel, inspiration for today and beyond. Now, homily highlights on Morning Air.
Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, there are the apostles beginning with great conviction, preaching the news that he is Jesus. And we also say, happy birthday to the church. Of course, we cannot have Christ without his church. He's alive and present in and through his church. And Pentecost is this gathering of unity for you and me as Catholics. This homily highlight from Bishop Robert Reed in the Archdiocese of Boston.
But for us today, that inspiration of the Holy Spirit is witnessed in the sacrifices, so many made over the past more than a year now for the sake of safety, that of your family and the wider community. The Holy Spirit is discovered in the journey of marriage and in the persistent dedication and tough love that parents show to their kids. We witness the gentle power of the Spirit in the way young people consciously commit themselves to the Catholic faith, and in the many good works that are done for the poor and the struggling. My point is, this is our feast, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit of God, can be found gently living among and within us. We have only to look. The riches of God are immense, immeasurable. No book, no set of books can contain them. But we celebrate those gifts, this church, today.
And there was Pentecost, first celebrated in that upper room, and it's still happening today with the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Father Marcel Tyone from St. Thomas More in Narragansett, Rhode Island.
So right now, the Holy Spirit is pouring out upon you, in your mind, your heart, and your soul. How do we celebrate this feast? What should we do? You and I need to call upon the Holy Spirit, who's the third person of the Trinity. Today we celebrate when the Trinity was finally completely revealed by Jesus. And Jesus promised that Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, will continue in the world until he returns in glory at the last judgment. So Jesus promised that. He left us in sight, but the Holy Spirit is now here with us. The love between God and his Father, Jesus and his Father, and that love between them in which we share. And so, what does the Holy Spirit do? He reveals to us Jesus. And how do we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost? We call upon that Holy Spirit so that we too, like Jesus, can pour out self-giving, sacrificial love every day of our lives, in every relationship, in every place that Jesus calls us to do that. And that's how we enter into this feast. You are a fountain. So let's, the Holy Spirit, fill you to overflowing today. Because the world out there is thirsty and dry and needs to know Jesus' love through your heart and through mine. Happy feast.
And in this homily highlight from St. Paul's Cathedral in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, Bishop David Zubik on what Pentecost should be for us if you and I are to be today's disciples of the Lord.
I know there are things that I still have to be able to take and give over and to put in the wounds of Jesus' hands to get rid of those things in my life. And you know what they are in yours. We've got to do something about it, to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear without any embarrassment whatsoever, that we in fact are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as the apostles following the great event of Pentecost left that upper room never to return again, they went out into the streets and proclaimed the truth. True then and true now and true forever, Jesus Christ is in fact our Savior. He is the Savior of the world. And he shows his wounded side and wounded hands to all of us as an invitation that we must in fact find our voice by the power of the Holy Spirit. But before we can do that, we've got to give over to the Lord those things that stand in the way of our doing so. That people may in fact see Jesus Christ in us by the ways in which we not only show but live. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Bishop David Zubik in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And at 10:15 Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, go it alone or stick together. It's a choice the disciples had to make on that first Pentecost. And so do you and I have to today, Cardinal Timothy Dolan.
And they chose choice number two, stick together. They knew in the very fiber of their being that Jesus had formed them as a unity, as a communion, as a family. They kind of knew deep down, hey, we are in this sacred enterprise together. And that, of course, is the church, the church. So this is the birthday of the church. Thank God they made that choice, don't you think? Now listen up, everybody, because this is very pertinent today, those two choices. Go it alone, or stick together. Well, On Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, Mary and the apostles reply, "He is present and alive and powerful in and through his church." And the chant began, the chant that we're going to take up in about 30 seconds. The chant began that Pentecost Sunday, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church." A blessed Pentecost, folks. Happy birthday to the church.
Come, O most Holy Spirit, come. Our homily highlights for Pentecost Sunday here on Morning Air, where the time now is 2:00 and time for today's Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called "You're John Hancock." Often when we ask for a person's signature, we call it their John Hancock. This is because of the 56 signatures on the Declaration of Independence. One stands out above the rest. That signature belongs to John Hancock. He was the first to sign the Declaration, and he signed it in a large and legible script so the King of England could read his name without using glasses. Mr. Hancock wanted it to be very clear where his allegiance lay. His commitment to his country was so clear that when King George III offered amnesty to all who would cease fighting, John Hancock was among the select few who were left out of the offer. Has your signature let your king know of your dedication and commitment to him? Joshua 24:14-15, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
The Glenn Story Corner podcast on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. Have a story for Glenn Morning Air at relevantradio.com. That's our email address. And stand by for Patrick Madrid coming up next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.